The Psalm 122 in the page 120. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me, Jerusalem, within thy gates our feet shall standing be. A lovely psalm reminding us of the great joy of worshipping together in the house of the Lord with the saints of God. And we pray today that even the great thoughts and truths expressed in this psalm will be our portion today around God's word in the house of the Lord. 122 is the psalm number, and the page 120, standing as we sing. Please, and a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we do gather, O God, before thee the Sabbath morning, and we come through the precious and worthy name of Christ, our Redeemer, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And Father, we thank thee for the perfect, spotless life of Christ, our Redeemer. We thank thee, Father, that he came to die the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And Father, we thank thee for that atonement that he has offered when he suffered and bled and died upon the cross. And we thank thee for that finished work and for the precious blood that he shed, that blood that cleanses us from all our sins, that makes us whiter than the snow, and that fits us for heaven and for glory. And O God, we come to thee today through his name, through his merits alone. And, O God, our prayer is, as we come pleading the name of Christ and the merits of Christ, we pray that thou would just bless our coming together here in thy house today. We think of the psalmist of old who could say, Lord, that he rejoiced in going up to the house of God to meet with the saints of God and to pray for the work of God and for the people of God and the cause of the Lord. And, Father, we pray that we will know something of that joy in our hearts today, that joy that comes from worshiping the Lord and serving thee. Lord, take our eyes off ourselves, of man, of our circumstances in life, and fix our eyes upon the Lord today. But think of the disciples of old, how it says they were glad when they saw the Lord. And Father, we pray for the blessing of God to be upon our portion, be our portion today, and to be upon us each one, we ask. Now, Father, we thank thee, Father, for each one in this gathering today who is saved. And Lord, bless thy people, draw every Christian closer, Lord, to thee. You do build us up in our holy faith, we pray. Now, Lord, help us to die to self, to sin, to the ways of this ungodly world more and more. Help us, Lord, to be conformed to the image of Christ, that others would take note that we have been to the Savior. Increase our love, O God, for thee. Increase our faith. And, Lord, increase our love for the souls of men and women unsaved, still out of Christ, we ask of thee. Remember any in the gathering today, cold at heart, give thee restoring grace, we pray. For any, Lord, going through times of trial and difficulty, may they know what it is to cast every care upon the Lord. I thank thee that thy grace is sufficient for our every need. And for any, Lord, in this gathering today, not saved, do speak to them, we pray. And Father, we pray this day they'll put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation, we ask. Bless all our homes and families today that are represented. Meet the need of all our homes and our families. Lord, unite all our family circles in the Lord. And where there are particular needs at this time, we pray, Lord, that by thy grace and by thy power, that thou would meet every need. We thank thee, Father, for the Sunday school this morning. Bless thy word to all the boys and girls early in life. May they come to know the Lord for salvation. Think of the children also who have heard your word in the week that has gone by, in the various children's meetings. Again, we thank thee also for the going forth of thy word on Friday night past, and to all who heard. And we pray, Lord, for those especially who have heard thy word, unsaved, awaken them. May they flee from the wrath to come and flee from their sin, Lord, and flee to Christ and trust him whom to know is life eternal. Father, we think of those unable to join with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt minister to their needs. Those who are in hospital and residential care, draw near to them especially, we pray. And Father, for those that have been bereaved, have suffered loss in recent times, comfort their hearts, we pray. Fill the vacant chair with the presence of the Lord and be their helper and be their strength, O God, we ask. Father, what we pray for this congregation, we pray that in like fashion that thou wilt bless our several sister congregations today. Remember every minister, student, and layman who will preach thy word. May they know the help and the blessing of God upon them. And wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed, across our land, north and south of the border, and think of the mainland of Great Britain as well, bless every faithful ambassador for Christ, and bless and visit thy church in these days with saving grace and with reviving power, O God, we ask. Father, we do pray, O God, today for our missionaries. We thank thee for those that labor at home and those who have gone at the call of God to other lands and nations and continents. We commit them, Lord, to thee. Bless them, protect them, and minister to their needs. Give them health and strength, and give them much fruit for their labors, we ask. We think also today of thy persecuted people in many lands, where the church is persecuted and even unto death. Bless especially your people. Grant thy protecting hand upon them, and Lord, be pleased to use them wherever they are, O God, for thine honor and for thy glory. We pray especially, Lord, for the land of Israel at this time, that thou would protect thine ancient people there. And we pray that there would be that turning unto Christ, the Messiah, and that there would be that trusting of Christ for salvation, even amongst the Jewish people at this time. And again, Lord, we think of the land of Ukraine, that thou, Lord, will grant peace in that land. Drive out the aggressor, we pray. And Father, we pray that there too, that thou will bless the testimony of thy people to the extension of the kingdom of God. Do remember, O God, our king and royal family. Have mercy upon them. Meet their needs. We pray especially, most importantly of all, that the light of the gospel will shine into that household and that they might turn from false religion Turn to the light of thy truth and be made wise, O God, unto salvation. We do pray. And for those who rule in our land and in our nation, we pray that there too that thou wouldst speak to their hearts, that they might be turned to thy word, and that they might be saved by the grace of God. Those who would seek to promote that which is evil and contrary to thy word, we pray that thou would bring their plans to nothing, we ask of thee. And even those in government who would profess thy name, give them grace and strength to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. And may they be guided by the word of God, we ask. Father, we do pray, O God, for the forthcoming mission in a few weeks' time here in Lisbalaw, that thou wilt bless it and all those who will take part in it, especially the preaching of thy word. Remember that village, O God, and the surrounding countryside, and bless the visitation. May it be a time not only of people coming to hear the word of God, but a time, Lord, when souls will be saved and the saints of God will be quickened and revived. Abide with us now, we pray. Do us good. Glorify thy name amongst us. We confess, O God, our sins before thee, Lord. They are many. We pray for that fresh cleansing in the Savior's blood. Create within us, Lord, that clean heart. Renew within us, Lord, that right spirit, we pray. And prepare our hearts this day to meet with thee, and that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth, and that the thoughts of our heart and the words, O God, of our lips would be acceptable, Lord, in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. This we pray in our Savior's great name. Amen. Turning again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 50. The hymn number 50 in the page 196. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Praise God, we can praise the Lord for his faithfulness and mercies to us day by day as his people. Hymn number 50, standing as we sing. Bible with you today, I'd ask you to turn, please, to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah and the chapter number 3. You'll find Nehemiah just in the early part of the Old Testament, just a few books before the book of the Psalms. We're turning today to Nehemiah chapter 3. We've been looking at these passages in recent weeks. Continuing with that study today, we're coming to Nehemiah chapter 3 and the verse number 1. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. Nehemiah chapter 3 and the verse number 1. Then Eliabib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar, the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hashaniah build, who also led the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next unto them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Coaz. And next unto them repaired Methusalem, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshalbeel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Bana. And next unto them the Tekoachites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehodai, the son of Pashai, and Methusalem, the son of Bezadora. They laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Next unto them repaired Malatiah the Gibeonite, and Jadon the Merophite, the men of Gibeon and of Mizpah, and unto the throne of the governor on this side of the river. Next unto him repaired Uziel, the son of Harajah, the goldsmith. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of one of the Apothecaries. And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. And next unto them repaired Raphaiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. Next unto them repaired Jediah, the son of Huramath, even over against his house. And next unto him repaired Hattush, the son of Hashbaniah, Malchijai, the son of Hariam, and of Hashub, the son of Pathimob, repaired the other piece and the tower of the furnaces. And next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Halshubesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem, he and his daughters. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 12, and our prayer is the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading of his precious, holy, and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning. It's good to see all who have gathered with us, and if you're visiting with us, we extend to you a very special welcome. Trust that you'll feel at home. If you're a believer today, may you be drawn closer to the Lord, your Savior. And if you're with us today and you're not saved, we pray this very day you'll come to know and to trust the Lord as your Savior, and indeed settle the eternal destiny of your soul and be sure of heaven. Welcome those also who may be joining us online. We thank you for joining with us today, and we pray God will bless his word to your hearts. Just the announcements for the week are as follows. Do please remember the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30. Encourage as many as possible to gather for the time of prayer. The evening gospel service at 7 p.m. I belong to minister God's word. Pray for that meeting. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others along. Tomorrow night, Monday night, here in the church, 8 p.m., is the monthly ladies fellowship meeting. That's open to all ladies are welcome. Welcome to bring their friends as well. Their sister, Mrs. Olive Maxwell, will be speaking and continue on the theme of biographies of missionaries. And she'll be dealing with Miss Amy Carmichael, a former missionary here from Northern Ireland. Do please note the children's meetings are off this week due to the midterm break. Friday night, 8 o'clock, the youth fellowship. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather. Next Lord's Day, the 18th of February, the students from the Whitfield College of the Bible will be here to preach and to testify and to lead the meetings 12 noon in the morning and then 7 p.m. at night. Be much in prayer for them. We always look forward to their visit. Pray that God's hand of blessing will be upon them. Make it known and invite and encourage others in. Both services will be preceded by the half hour of prayer. We'll be taking the services over in Kuskiri. Value prayer for those meetings also. Do please remember the two-week gospel mission in Lisbalaw, Orange Hall, commencing just a fortnight from today. That's the 25th of February through to the 10th of March. Lord's Day meetings will be at 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. The weeknights at 8 p.m. there'll be different singers and testimonies each night. And the evangelists are the Reverend Cullen, our brother Mr. Cullen Maxwell, the Reverend Larry Power, and myself. We'll be long to bring God's word each night. So remember those who preach that they'll know God's blessing and help. Do please pray for the meetings. Do keep those weeks free. Try to attend the meetings night by night. There are wee invitation cards there for the mission. We encourage you to take those, give them out to your family, friends, neighbors, relatives, people you work with. And again, as we've said, if you want to do a particular area, there's plenty of invites. Just let us know the area so that there's not an overlap with the visitation. And then we hope to do the visitation for that, commence it next week on the afternoon. So if you want to help any afternoon with us, we'll be glad of your help. Please note that during the mission, there'll be no evening service here during the mission, so that you can give yourself wholly to the mission meetings. There'll also be no midweek prayer meeting as well during the time of mission. There is a small tea rota there for some of the nights during the mission when there's some who are testifying and singing from afar. And if you can help in those few nights, any of those nights, do put your name on the sheet out there on the table on the porch. This coming Saturday night in Clogher Valley Church, there's a youth rally at 8 p.m. for those in the 20 and 30s bracket. And then also this coming Friday night, the 16th of February, is the Youth Council 50th anniversary rally, marking the work of the Free Presbyterian Youth Council work. And that's in Martyrs Memorial Church, 8 p.m. All are welcome to that, young and old alike. There'll be various speakers. The 50th anniversary choir will be singing, and also there's supper for all in that occasion. So that's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book, please, to the hymn number 615. 615, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. A great hymn, great words of truth, reminding us of God's preserving hand upon his church, right down throughout the ages, no doubt till the end of time itself. 615, keeping our seats. We don't take up an offering during the meeting. Do remember the offering plates as you leave. Remaining seated for the early part of this hymn, 615.
Thank you.
final verse, standing to sing. Passage of scripture we read earlier, please, to Nehemiah chapter number 3. Nehemiah chapter 3, with God's word open before us, let us bow, please, in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence already in our gathering today, for the singing of thy praises and the reading of thy word. As we turn now to consider thy word for a season, draw near. Hide man far behind the cross. Glorify and exalt the Savior. Apply thy word to all our hearts today as thou would see our need. By the mighty power of God the Holy Spirit, may thy word be used to the quickening of the saints of God. May thy word, O God, be used to the saving of the sinner. And O God, may thy word be used to bring glory and honor unto the Lord. Fill me afresh with thy Holy Spirit. Pour out thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. Give right words, Lord. For thou hast said, how forcible are right words. Let nothing be said that is not of thee. Give perfect liberty, clarity, and plainness, simplicity of speech in the preaching of thy word. And in all things, O God, we pray, bring glory and honor unto our Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Amen. Now, in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, Nehemiah faced a great challenge. And to meet this challenge, Nehemiah trusted in God, who is Almighty. And with God's help and blessing, he enlists the help of others for this great work. Over in Nehemiah chapter 4, under the verse number 6, you see there how Nehemiah gives credit to these people. He says, so built we the wall, for the people had a mind to work. And such words really tell of a willingness among the people to put their shoulder to the work. And as there was a need for others to help in God's work in the day of Nehemiah, so there is still a great need for others to help in the work of God today. Yes, whenever it comes to God's work, there should be no spectators among God's people. Yes, every believer in Christ is saved to serve the Lord in one way or another. The psalmist says to the Christian that the believer is to serve the Lord with gladness. Yes, there may be Christians who think that their calling in life is, as it were, to sit back and do nothing, but that's not of the Lord. That is not the will of God for his people. The hymn writer says, there's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. And here in Nehemiah chapter 3, which we've read from this morning, we read of many different kinds of people who were used to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in the day of Nehemiah. And in all of this, there are important lessons for God's people in the vital matter of working for the Lord. And it is these lessons I want us just to consider together around God's word today. Notice, first of all, here with me, the reason for this work of Nehemiah and his fellow laborers. What was the reason behind it all? Well, the reason for the work of Nehemiah and his friends was simply the glory of God, the glory of the Lord. You go back to chapter 2 and go to the end of verse number 17. Look there at what Nehemiah says to his friends. He says, come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. Notice those words, that we be no more a reproach. When the walls of Jerusalem were broken down and in ruins, God's name bore reproach. Yes, God's name was dishonored. The ungodly, they mocked, they despised, they scorned the Lord's people. Over in chapter 4 and verse number 4, there you have Nehemiah in prayer. And he says these words, "Hear, O God, for we are despised." Therefore, to counteract the scorn, the reproach, and to glorify the Lord, Nehemiah and others in his day and generation, they start to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And my justice, God's glory motivated Nehemiah and his friends. So also God's glory, the glory of the Lord, should be the chief reason for every Christian serving the Lord, whoever that Christian is, wherever that Christian is to be found. People of God today, yes, the reason for all our Christian endeavor, it is not to be the promotion of self. It is not to be the promotion of man, not even the promotion of a church or a particular denomination. Rather, it must be the glory of the Lord, the glory of God Almighty. The Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." You think of John the Baptist, that great preacher in the early days of the New Testament, and the Bible says there was none greater than John the Baptist, and his chief motive in all his ministry, what was it? It was the glory of Christ, the glory of his Savior. He could say of Christ, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Think also of the great Apostle Paul, the great missionary preacher and theologian of the early New Testament church. The whole burden of his ministry was the glory of his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord." Then people think of the greatest example of all, that of Christ himself. What was the motive behind all his work here on earth? It was the glory of God the Father. Turning your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter number 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. And here we have Christ in prayer to his heavenly Father. Notice what he says, in particular in verse 4, to his heavenly Father about his work on earth. Look at the words he says in John 17, verse 4. He says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And there you see that his whole work on earth was all linked to glorifying God the Father. Child of God, in the meeting this morning, let me say this, that here on earth, God has a work for you and I to do as his people. The Bible says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them." Believer in Christ, the Lord has a good work for you to do. And as you and I seek to do this work, by God's grace, let us do it with a single eye to the glory of the Lord. May the burden of our heart ever be like the psalmist of old who said, "Not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name and give glory." Christian, God has a work for you to do. Do it with that single eye to the glory of God, whatever that work is that God gives you to do. You think of the first question and answer in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. It sums up this whole matter. What is man's chief end? The answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That was the reason, the motivation behind Nehemiah and his friends and all their labor for God was the glory of God. As you and I seek to serve the Lord in this world, in the scene of time, whatever it is that God gives us to do, oh, let our name perish, but let the name of the Lord alone be honored and glorified. Notice secondly here today, notice the blueprint for the work of Nehemiah and his fellow neighbors. What was that blueprint? Well, you see from what we've read in Nehemiah chapter 3 that God's blueprint was to use
different people in the work. And you see that particularly there in verses 1 to 5 of the chapter. Notice the list of different names. It says in verse 1, then Elishabab the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. Verse 2 says, and next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hashaniah build, who also led the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof. Verse 4, and next unto them repaired Meroth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. And next unto them repaired Methusalem, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshabeel. And next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Bani. And next unto them the Tekoahites repaired. And there you read of various people, people from different places. Places, people from different backgrounds, no doubt people with various gifts and talents and personalities, but all involved in building, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem in the day of Nehemiah. And this was God's blueprint to use different people in the work from different backgrounds and callings in life. And this people is still God's blueprint for his work today. He uses different people in his work. Turn over to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I want you to go down to verses 12 to 14 of that chapter. And here you see how Paul uses the example of the human body with its many different parts. And he uses this really to illustrate the body of Christ. In other words, the church of Christ with its many different members and from different backgrounds in life. Look at what he says in verses 12, 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians 12. He says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Speaking there of the body of Christ, the church of Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Notice those words. The body is not one member, but many. Emphasizing the point that many are in the church of Christ from different backgrounds. And many, yes, in the church of Christ have a work to do. Yes, as every part of the human body has a specific work to do in God's creation of the human body, so the different members of the church of Christ all have a work to do. And this is God's plan, that every member of his church work together for the greater good of God's work and the greater good of God's glory. You think today of an orchestra. It's lovely to hear an orchestra playing in harmony. You have all the different instruments. You have the woodwind, you have the percussion, the brass, whatever, string instruments, and they all come together in the harmony under the conductor's baton, so to speak, and they bring together and they work together for a beautiful noise, a noise that is very pleasing to the ear. And just as all those instruments come together and are used for the work of the orchestra, so it is God's will that his people who have all different gifts and abilities, be used together in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. And people, that's something we must not lose sight of as Christians. Also, we see here that God's blueprint was to use the same old stone to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You go back again to Nehemiah chapter 3 and look at what is said in verses 1 and 2 of the chapter. It says, then Elishab the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. Go down to verse 2, it says, and next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar, the son of Imri. Notice the mention there of that word builded. They're used in a number of occasions just in those two verses of the chapter. And that word builded there really has the thought and is the meaning of rebuilding something up from the ground. And the thought here is that the walls were to be rebuilt with the old stone that had originally been used years gone by, that it was now lying down on the ground. The walls were to be rebuilt again with that same old stone. There was to be no new stone used in the rebuilding of the walls. And people, this reminds us that in God's work, there's no need for the new modern ideas of men to build the work of God and to advance the kingdom of God. My God's way for building his church is the way of the old paths of Scripture. And what is those old paths of Scripture? It's the way of prayer. Not only prayer, but the way of the faithful preaching of the Word of God in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. And people, these are the benchmarks which we must not depart from. Many today are ensnared by the gimmicks of the charismatic movement or modernism and liberalism. But God's way to build his church is the old paths of prayer, the preaching of the Word of God in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. You remember what the elders in the early New Church, Testament church said in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. They said, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of God's word." And that's what we are to give ourselves to as a church, to prayer and to the ministry, the preaching of the word of God. What did Paul say to Timothy? He said, "Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Preach the word." The Bible says, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And that's what we're to pray for in the work of God in particular. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, upon his word. How vital these things are, dear people, when many today are seeking to embrace new things into the church of Christ that are not of God, that are not of the Scriptures. We are not to depart from the benchmark of prayer, the preaching of the Word of God, and seeking the power and the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. Yes, we see the reason for the work of Nehemiah and his friends. We see the blueprint for the work of Nehemiah and his friends. Notice something else just in the passage before us here in Nehemiah chapter 3. Notice the workers who were employed in the work of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Who were these workers? Well, there were many kinds of people employed. Many kinds of people employed. Look at verse 1. Mention is made there of the priests. It says, "Then Elisha, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built it." The sheep gate there was mentioned made of the priests. They were the spiritual leaders of the day, involved in the work of God. Go down to verse number 2. It says, "And next unto him builded the men of Jericho." That speaks of the people from the city of Jericho. Go down to the beginning of verse number 5. It says, "And next unto them the Tekoites repaired." And that speaks of the people who were from the country, who were from the rural areas of the land of the nation. Go down to verse number 8 of the chapter, and there you see mention is made there of certain tradesmen, if you like, merchants or those involved in business. Look at what it says in verse 8. "Next unto him repaired Uzziel, the son of Harahiah, of the goldsmiths. Next unto him also repaired Hananiah, the son of the Ophicares, and they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall." And then if you go down to verse 12 of the chapter, you see how there was a work even for the women to do and to be involved in. It says in verse 12, "And next unto him repaired Shalom, the son of Halosheth, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem." Notice what it says, "He and his daughters." Child of God, see from this, whatever your background is, dear believer in Christ, God has a work for you to do in his work. A few weeks ago, our brother Robert was with us here giving a word of testimony. He said something in giving his testimony when at night he was saved. The minister who counseled him
gave him good advice. He says, when you're saved, get involved in the work of God. That was back in 1988, 36 years ago. And the thing I noted in his testimony was this. He says, I'm still in the work of God, still loving the work of God. And how important that is. Christian, get involved in the work of God. The hymn writer says, thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Believer, the Lord has saved you to be a channel of blessing in its work and in its cause. We can say further here today that the example of these workers was most encouraging. Verse 1, their mention is made of the priests. It says, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built it. The sheep gate mention is made there of the priests. They were the religious leaders, and by their example as leaders, they no doubt encouraged others also to get involved in God's work in their day and generation. And believer, learn from this that when you serve the Lord, your example will encourage others also to serve the Lord and take up the baton for Christian service. The Bible says, none of us liveth unto himself. Oh, Christian, how important it is that you and I leave a mark for God in our day and generation. Also, we can say further that there is an example here of the workers. It was one of unity. Look at verse 2 and look at verse 4 of the chapter. It says, and next unto him buildeth the men of Jericho. And next to them buildeth Zachar the son of Imri. Verse 4, and next unto them repaired Meroth the son of Urijah, the son of Coz, and next unto them repaired Methusalem, the son of Berechiah, the son of Mashabeel, and next unto them repaired Zadok, the son of Abani. Notice in particular the repetition of that little phrase there, and next unto him. And next unto them, it shows here how the people work together unitedly with one heart, with one mind, in accord in the things of God. And likewise, brethren and sisters in Christ, you and I also are to work together with one accord in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. The psalmist says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And how vital, how important that is in the work of God. And that's something that applies to us all. We have all a responsibility to guard and maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. Turn your Bible over to Ephesians chapter number 4 and look at what Paul says here to God's people regarding this very matter. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3 of that chapter. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Notice it, with all lowliness. That speaks of humility. And meekness, that speaks of gentleness. With long suffering, that speaks of patience, forbearing, that speaks of forgiveness. Notice it, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How vital that counsel is for you and I as believers in the Church of Christ, in the work of God, and in the cause of Christ. Yes, many kinds of people were working here in this employment of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Their work was encouraging to others to get involved. Their example was one of unity. Notice something else we can say about their testimony. The example of these workers, it was one of unselfishness. You see, all involved in this work gave up of their own time. Gave up of their own time for the good of God's work. No doubt these people were busy with their own livelihoods, busy with their own families, their own callings of life. No doubt all these things were legitimate in themselves, but in the midst of all this, we see here how they made time for God's work, and God blessed them, and God used them for His honor and for His glory. Oh, people of God, let us seek to follow their example in this as well. You think of what Paul says to the Christians in the church at Philippi in Philippians 2, verses 4 and 5. He says there, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in
Christ Jesus. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Christian, always remember this, that when you give to God, you never lose out. The Lord is no man's debtor. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. No one ever loses out who gives to God. Who gives to his work, his cause, his kingdom, of their time, their talent, their gifts, whatever. Notice something else we can say further here about these workers along with Nehemiah. Their example was one of commitment. They were committed to this work. Look at what you read over in chapter 6 and the verse number 15. Notice what you read there at the beginning of that verse. The workers, they stayed at the work until it was finished. It says, so the wall, notice it, was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month, Elihul, in 50 and 2 days. There was commitment here. There was steadfastness here. Yes, it was finished despite disappointments, discouragements, trials, despite opposition. They went on with the work of God and they finished the work. They did the work that God called them and had given them to do. Christian, this morning in our meeting, by God's grace, follow here the example of the people of God in the day of Nehemiah. Turn in your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 58. I encourage you, believer, mark this verse in your Bible. Make it a motto text of your life as a Christian. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Christians, seek to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're coming up in a few weeks' time to a time of gospel mission, a time of special endeavor. Time when we seek to reach out as a church to souls that are dying in sin, perishing in sin. No hope beyond the grave. Let us do all we can, even over these weeks, to pray for the mission, to attend the meetings night by night, and to invite and to encourage others in under the sound of God's word. It's just a little season that will soon come and pass and go out into eternity. Let us be always abounding in the work of the Lord. And believe in Christ, let nothing or no one hinder you from serving the Lord and doing the work of the Lord. You go back there to Nehemiah chapter number 3. And notice what you read there about a certain individual called Barak. Go down to verse number 20 of Nehemiah chapter number 3. Look at what it says. It says, after him, Barak, the son of Zabiah, notice what it says about him, earnestly repaired the other piece. He was earnest in the business of repairing the walls of Jerusalem. What a testimony. Not much is said about this man in Scripture, but what a legacy he left. The Bible says he earnestly repaired the other piece. He was earnest in the work of God, in the cause of Christ. None of us know how long we have left upon this earth. Maybe short, we may have more days than we think, we don't know. But oh, that it would be said of us as believers when we leave this world and are taken from this scene of time, that we were earnest in the work of God, that we are always abounding in the work of the Lord. The hymn writer says, I wrestled on towards heaven against storm and wind and tide. Oh, let us seek to be like this man, Barak, and be earnest in doing the work of God. Doing, dear Christian, whatever God gives you to do, whatever God calls you to do. Turn in your Bible there over to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 9, and look at verse number 10. Notice what it says there. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. How are we to do the work of God? It says that we're to do it with all our might, with all our heart, with all our soul. Think of Joshua. Think of Caleb. The Bible says the holy followed the Lord. They weren't diverted here, there, and yonder. No. They gave themselves lock, stock, and barrel to the work of God, to the cause of Christ in their day and generation. Believer in Christ, you and I have only one life. You and I have only one opportunity for serving the Lord. Let us not miss, as Christians, the well done of God. If you're in the meeting this morning, you're unsaved, let me say this, that if you are to be saved and serve God on earth, you must cease from self and from sin, and as a repented sinner, turn to Christ. The Bible says flee from the wrath to come. Not just flee from hell, but flee from your sin that brings the judgment of hell upon you, and flee to Christ, to his sacrifice, to the blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary as the only refuge and remedy for your sin. The Bible says this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Oh, to be saved from your sin, to be right with God, to know your sins forgiven, to be sure of heaven, and then to start serving God on earth. As repentant sinner, you must flee to Christ. Trust him. He invites you to do so. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The blood of Christ is the remedy for sin. The blood of Christ alone, nothing else. The hymn writer says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You're not saved today. Come to the Lord. Confess your sins to him. Repent of your sins. Call upon him for salvation. And start out living the Christian life for God's honor and God's glory. And God will bless you. And he will use you as he did this man, Nehemiah. And as he did with his friends in his day and generation. May God write his word upon our hearts and upon our souls today. We're going to turn, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 526. 526, I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor, it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. 526, we'll stand as we sing.
Treasure.
thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for help given in the ministry of thy word. And write these lessons from Nehemiah and his friends. Write them upon our hearts. And Lord, we think of those of old in the day of Nehemiah. It says, so the people had a mind to work. Oh Lord, give us that mind. Give us that burden day by day until Christ comes or calls us home. Help us to be always abounding in the work of the Lord as thy people. Help us, O God, even as we've been singing, not to miss the well done of God. O Lord, may we serve thee with all our heart, all our soul, and all our strength. Give us grace to that end, we pray. Father, for any in the gathering today, Lord, not saved, who perhaps have a desire for the things of God in their head and in their mind, yet, Lord, they've no heart experience of the new birth. O God, we pray today that they would be born again, that they would come in faith and in repentance unto Christ and trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Father, answer prayer to this end. Take us to our homes and safely journey with us. Bless us throughout thy day. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with all who know and love thee this day and always. Amen. And amen.